I think Wynn Butler of the band Arcade Fire summed up the Grammys really well when he said, "What the hell?" This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today we catalog the upsets at last night's Grammy Awards. Plus, Saturday Night Live cast member Fred Armisen talks about getting his start in comedy as a musician. And a live performance in our studio from the Brooklyn-based rapper Beans. In the background, you're hearing the Canadian indie rock band Arcade Fire performing on last night's Grammys telecast. The group won the coveted Album of the Year award, beating out mainstream mega artists like Eminem, Lady Gaga, and Lady Antebellum, the country pop group which pulled off a few upsets of its own. Pop music critic Chris Richards of the Washington Post was at the ceremony last night. He joins us by phone from L.A. Chris, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here.
So many upsets. Which to you was the most surprising?
The Arcade Fire upset was the biggest of the night. In the press room backstage at the Grammys, everyone just gasped at this news, and nobody seemed more surprised than the band themselves when they got up on stage. It was a huge upset. This is the highest award that the Grammys give out every year, and no one expected them to win it.
And why is it such a big deal? I mean, they're a critically acclaimed group. They had a very well-received record. It was number one for a while. Why is this such an upset?
You know, you're exactly right. When you put it that way, it isn't that surprising. But for some reason, the media or maybe the band itself has kind of maintained this myth that Arcade Fire are these perennial underdogs. You know, when in actuality, they're a hugely popular rock band. You know, The Suburbs was a number one record on Billboard, and to me, you know, they sound like Coldplay with like more interesting haircuts. But there was a huge upset because Eminem was poised to win a lot of awards last night. He was up for 10. He walked away only with 2. And, you know, like you said, they were up against a lot of star power, a lot of establishment star power. And they're on an independent label, too, which is there's something to be said for that.
Right. Now, how does something like this happen? I mean, is it like a political race where, you know, a party's candidates, if there are, you know, two people going for the same position within a party, they'll split the vote?
The vote could have very well been split. That's quite possible. But I think a lot of people, you know, like you said, are really excited about this record. And, you know, the divide between indie and major labels is starting to fade, too. Of all the nominees for this year's Grammys, most of them were on independent labels this year. So that's a new development that we're seeing with the splintering of the record industry. And I think this win is kind of emblematic of that shift.
All right. Now, we asked you for a highlight, and you said Arcade Fire winning Album of the Year was the highlight for you of the Grammys last night. What's at the opposite? What was the low point of the telecast?
The low point, I think, was a performance by Barbara Streisand at the end. She was honored as the Music Cares Person of the Year, which is a sort of charity award that the Grammys give out each year. Her performance towards the end of the show sort of sapped the momentum of the whole thing. It was fine. She sounded good. But I just felt like it was a ploy to keep older viewers watching the telecast deep into those waning hours past bedtime.
Now, big losers. You mentioned Eminem had 10 nominations. He got 2 awards, which is fine, but he didn't get any of the big ones.
That's correct. Rap Album of the Year he won, and that's a fine award. He kind of refused to smile at the podium, which was interesting. I was waiting to see if a grin would cross his face, but he
seemed very
stern.
Have you ever seen a grin cross his face?
I thought this could have been the night, but alas, Arcade Fire stole his thunder.
What about in the very interesting category of Best New Artist?
Yes, Best New Artist. You know, everyone thought this was a race between Justin Bieber and Drake, you know, two Canadian heartthrobs in different realms of the pop universe. Justin Bieber, of course, being totally ubiquitous in the world of social media. A giant upset in this realm. Esperanza Spalding, the singer bassist, who I know you guys have given a lot of support to, won Best New Artist, and she's the first jazz artist to win the award.
And this is from the album that won it for her, the 2010 record called Chamber Music Society, Esperanza Spalding. Winter sun, winter sun.
And turn to confetti, brown and orange. I know soon you'll come to the whip of the wind. And they will make it branches with warmth and light. One tall bones tremble from the cold. One kiss of your warmth heals the soul.
That is is Esperanza Spalding, the jazz bassist and vocalist from her album Chamber Music Society, last year's record that won for her last night the Grammy Award for Best New Artist, beating out the heavily favored Justin Bieber and Drake. We're speaking with Chris Richards, pop music critic of The Washington Post, who was giving us a Grammy preview on the program late last week and who was at the Grammys last night. And looking at the telecast, Chris, at one point I checked my watch and I was like, holy cow, it's 10:30 already. I thought it was like 9 o'clock. I
mean, that's a good thing.
For a while, it is a good thing. I mean, it really moved along at a pretty good clip.
Yes.
Is that because fewer awards, more live music?
That is the formula that the Grammys have been following. And by my count, the performances outnumbered the trophy handoffs by 16 to 10. And I think the performances this year were a lot more solid than in years past. We saw some really great sort of collaborations between artists of different generations. I thought the Bob Dylan performance alongside the Avid Brothers and Mumford & Sons was far better than expected. Everyone sounded great, and it was very spirited. It really, I think, communicated on TV, which is very difficult to do.
And they sounded like they were enjoying themselves,
yes,
genuinely.
Exactly, and to be able to feel that across your television, I think, is a very powerful thing. So respect to them, and I think that, yeah, I think performances like that really move the show along.
All right,
kept it lively.
Let's do a sound check speed round here. Let me throw out some of the other performances, and you can give them a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Sure, we'll do.
I'm actually going to start with a comment on our website from Susie in the Bronx. Why was Mick Jagger performing last night? He seemed totally irrelevant. What did you think of his Solomon Burke tribute?
I thought Mick Jagger did a pretty decent job. Again, he was one of those artists that I feel was put late in the program to keep a certain demographic watching. But, you know, he looked good. I got a lot of emails this morning saying that he was much better than Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I wonder which demographic that was, emailing
you. Yeah, I wonder.
The Aretha tribute that opened the telecast.
I thought it was pretty good. It kind of took on a competitive element, you know, who's going to get this tiara for the Princess of Soul. And I feel like Jennifer Hudson kind of delivered the best rendition of the five singers there. Christina Aguilera sort of redeemed herself after her Super Bowl flub, but she couldn't step to Hudson, I don't think.
What about Bruno Mars, Janelle Monáe, and B.O.B.?
Very interesting trio. I thought B.O.B. kind of squandered his opportunity. The most interesting thing about his performance was the monocle he was wearing. He's kind of going for this Mr. Peanut vibe, which didn't quite work for me. Bruno Mars had a big opportunity to really make a huge impression on people with all of his nominations, and I thought his performance was just pretty good. And then Janelle Monáe, she's a force of nature, one of the best live performers I saw last year, and I thought she did very, very well.
Now, Lady Gaga and the egg and the
Lady
shoulders.
Gaga and the egg. I liked this performance. It did not blow me away, and I'm starting to wonder if, you know, her penchant for spectacle is starting to kind of wear thin on us. Like, we expect these crazy, outlandish costumes from her. They're not as surprising as they used to be. But that said, I still really respect the out there left fieldness of her and the fact that she has been able to turn this crazy worldview into something so popular and so powerful. So I thought it was a pretty great performance.
And the song itself, with its kind of post-Madonna beat and its, you know, Born This Way message, I mean, this has gay anthem written all over it, doesn't it?
Indeed, it was, and I think it's headed that way for sure. It's the new Express Yourself.
This is Lady Gaga live on the Grammys last night. Lady Gaga, Born This Way, live on the Grammys last night. Was it much ado about nothing? Sour from the Lower East Side leaves this comment. Is Lady Gaga over? That uninspired performance seems to be a breaking point. Chris Richards is on the line with us. He was at the Grammys last night. And, of course, what we saw on television, Chris, was about 10 awards. There were 98 awards handed out prior to that. Breathtaking, frenetic, dull, listless, these are all words that I've heard to describe the pre-telecast. What did you think?
The pre-telecast is funny. I think I said on Friday, and it was true this year as well, that it's like watching an award show in fast forward. People are just trying to move it along. Kathy Griffin was one of the presenters during the awards. It was just kind of making fun of the entire event. You know, if people wouldn't come up to the stage to accept their award, she just tossed the envelope to the side, and there was a lot of profanity in her speaking as well, which of course would not have made it on the telecast. So this year's pre-tell was fast and furious and interesting.
If you want to read more about the Grammys, my reaction to the Grammy telecast is on our website at wnyc.org/soundcheck. Chris, nice speaking with you again. Thanks for spending some time on an early California morning with us.
My pleasure. Happy Valentine's Day.
And in the background is Mavis Staples, who won in the very competitive category of Best Americana Album and made a long, teary speech about how it's been a long time coming, but worth the wait, her first ever Grammy. And this is Mavis Staples live on Soundcheck last July.
Wrote a song for everyone. Wrote a song for truth. Wrote a song for everyone, and I couldn't leave it up to you.
Up next, TV viewers are used to seeing Fred Armisen on Saturday Night Live, but we're going to hear a bit about his musical side. And later, avant rapper Beans performs live music from his new album. That's coming up on Soundcheck.
Foreign policy was the topic for presidential debates. Better get them rock before it's too late. The story for conquest, the territory is old. Blood is the new black and the oil is gold. When I say blood, not the blood like the Bloods and Crips. But the blood that rushes your head is oxygen and turns red when you're moving your hips over beats like this. I sound so crisp when government spills up a sport. It's hard to dismiss. It's a vampire's lust, but divine when it's made into wine by Jesus. 70 slang we used to...